Hey, it's the Chaos Queen here, and you're listening to the Geekcast Radio Network.
There is nothing wrong with your podcast player. Do not attempt to adjust the volume. Hello and welcome back into our studio. This is Studio 2009. I'm, of course, TFG on Mike. Joining me is one half of the perfectly good podcast. It is none other than Miss Sylvan Groth. Hello. How are you?
We seldom introduced as that, so it's a quite a thrill. And I don't know if I can even claim half credit, but I am one of the voices often on Perfectly Good Podcast.
I mean,
and you were such a great friend to us from going way back, and it's a pleasure
absolutely
to be here.
Yes, and you can claim half credit. He's one half, you're the other half. Come on now. He's
workload.
Not coming up with the okay, yeah, workload fine, but he's not coming up with just the facts for that. Like, you know, he's not doing the research. He's doing all the other stuff. But, you know, it's still 50-50. It's still 50-50.
I wish I could say that it actually takes any kind of effort to pull up really random trivia about every single John Hiatt song. But that's in my head the place that, you know, like social security numbers and friends' birthdays should be.
So. She's well, that's what we have Facebook for, to remember friends' birthdays. I mean, Facebook reminds us all the time. So yes, folks, we're here tonight, episode 73 of Studio 2009. I wanted to do this 2 years ago on the actual 20th anniversary of the film, but we are releasing this January 19th, 2024, which will be the 60th birthday of former baseball player Jim Morris, who the film is based off of. And yeah, Jesse was supposed to be here, but he got bogged under some sort of numbers or something. I don't know. Some of the stuff, whatever. But yeah, so.
Priorities.
Yes, yes, priorities. It's John Hiatt, first and foremost, right?
Well, yeah.
So tell the audience, because this is the first time you've been on this show, tell the audience how long and how deep of a John Hiatt fan you are for those that may have not have listened to Perfectly Good Podcast, which I have every link for, folks, in the show notes.
Yeah, and thank you, because we're certainly welcoming more people to the party. I like to say that I have been a John Hiatt fan since birth. Since one of the songs my mom played for me as a baby was Washable Ink by the Neville Brothers, being born in New Orleans and then transported to the very cold Northeast. But we kind of became aware of him the time most people did, when Bring the Family and Slow Turning came out. And I was 9 years old when Slow Turning came out. So, you know, your musical tastes are still kind of fermenting at that point. But I went through my phase, as many a preteen girl does, of some embarrassing musical choices. And my mom put up with that the best she could. And then one day she recalls that she came home. I was about 13. And all of a sudden the boy band was not coming out of my stereo. Instead, Slow Turning was coming out of my stereo. And she was like, I'm not going to say anything. I'm not going to point out that this is really making me happy, because that will make it stop.
That's right.
And yeah, from there on in, I kind of overcame my mom of being a John Hiatt fan. And we were really hoping that we could join the John Hiatt fan club when his record company had one of those. Unfortunately, we missed out on that. So one day when we were standing in line waiting for tickets, I offhandedly mentioned that I had this drawer full of articles and things that I had just been saving because, and like, I was like, oh, I have enough information to start my own fan club. And this lovely woman, Pam Gillis, said, well, you should do that. And I was like, oh, yeah, I guess I'll
might
do
as well.
That. And that was in the day of paper. I started doing a fan magazine that I would actually hand out and put in the mail to as far away as the Netherlands and Germany. That made way for just going online. I've always been kind of thrilled to talk to other John Hiatt fans when there were email listservs like Shot of Rhythm and Facebook. I'm answering this question in far more depth than
it's okay.
Think you were
no,
looking for,
absolutely.
Mike.
And as much depth as you want, because like I said, nobody's heard you on this show before. So,
right. And it was about a little more than a year ago, Jesse Jackson put on the Facebook group of John Hiatt fans that he was going to dedicate a month of his Bruce Springsteen podcast to John Hiatt. And would anyone have anything to say? And I was kind of shy about it, but I said, well, yeah, I think I could talk for an hour about John Hiatt. In fact, most people ask me if I can go for an hour without talking about John Hiatt. So we did just one episode of talking about a quirky little album, which was actually the soundtrack to a movie that came out the same year as the movie we're talking about tonight. So there's a little bit of a connection there. And we had a really great time talking about the Country Bears, which John Hiatt wrote songs and performed for. And then Jesse said he'd had this idea hanging around for a while about going through every song A to Z. I said, you realize that's going to take about 8 years. And I didn't know at that point that Jesse had a very serious podcast addiction, which I now take full advantage of. That he'd been doing this for years and years before. So 8 years was just like, oh, that's
dropping
like
that.
A week or something like that. Exactly. So we've started on that journey, and I'm just having such a great time. We've had such fun guests, including yourself, some local musicians, and we've got a really exciting guest coming up in a couple of months that is very top secret.
Oh boy.
It's going to be good.
Great. Absolutely. So as of this recording and release, folks, they just released, was it Face the Nation or Falling Up? What's the most recent one? I think it's Falling Up, isn't it?
You know, I really don't keep track of when they're released. I keep track of what I have to be prepared to talk about. So
let me double
but
check.
I think Falling Up might have been
it. Yeah, so. I think that's what it is. And of course, folks, as I often do, I will fix all this in the editing. After all, that's what Bugs Bunny taught me to do, right? Yes, Falling Up is the most recent one.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
All right. Yeah, so Falling Up is the most recent song in Perfectly Good Podcast, John Hiatt from A to Z, which will take them until like 2098 or something to finish, or who knows.
Well, especially if he puts out another album between now and then, which I am in a panic that he releases an album with all songs that start with the letter A and B, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah. That's why when that happens and you actually finish the alphabet, you go back and you go by album.
Right.
That way the podcast can continue past the...
Well, there is already a season two. Yeah,
there you go.
Because there's a bunch of unreleased stuff
out
there.
There you go.
Jimmy Morris, well on his way to another World Series title.
15 years ago...
You got your shot at baseball.
You got hurt.
Jimmy Morris put his dreams aside.
Coach?
Counselor? Don't report that, Esther.
I never do.
But sometimes...
Hey, Coach, you want to throw? I'll throw a couple.
Yeah, Dad, bring the heat.
When you least expect it... Dreams come back to life.
I threw today.
How hard?
Pretty hard.
Anybody want to tell me how we lost that game?
You quit out there. I'm talking about having dreams. You don't have dreams, you don't have anything.
You're the one who should be wanting something more.
Last time I checked, scouts aren't looking for high school science teachers.
We start winning, you try out again.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
All right. Boom, 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 boom.
District champion. Oh.
Now it's your turn, Coach.
It started as a simple bet.
I promised to try out.
It was this thing to get the kids to start playing.
It became the most incredible true story.
Rule number one is arms slow down when they get up.
In baseball history. From the studio that brought you Remember the Titans.
We've got an 8-year-old boy who waited all day in the rain to see his daddy try to do something that nobody believed he could do. Now what are we telling him if you don't try now?
This spring.
You bringing some kids besides your own?
I'm here for me.
For you.
Jimmy, come on, you're up.
Just a second.
I'm not doing it.
Don't hurt yourself.
His dreaming was impossible.
You the old guy?
I'm the old guy.
Fastball you saw 15 years ago. 85, 86.
You just threw 98 miles an hour.
No.
but his journey was extraordinary.
To Coach Jimmy Moore, the man who taught us about wanting something more.
Dennis Quaid.
Do you know how many guys can throw the ball 98 miles an hour?
Yes! Not many.
The Rookie.
All right, folks, tonight is all about 2002's The Rookie, a.k.a. Walt Disney's The Rookie, starring Dennis Quaid, Rachel Griffiths, Jay Hernandez, Brian Cox, Angus T. Jones, and more. This is based off of Jim Morris, who was the true-to-life baseball player who the story is based off of. And the main reason why Sylvan is here, I don't know how much of a baseball fan you are, but we all know how much of a John Hyatt fan you are.
I'm more of a fan of movies about baseball than I am
right.
baseball.
Right, yeah. That's sad.
Because for whatever reason, it is the sport that translates to that medium the mm-hmm. best. I would argue with anyone that you can make a decent soccer movie, a decent football movie, but there are great baseball movies, and I don't mm-hmm. think any other sport has come close to that.
I will argue for hockey and the Mighty Ducks, but that's just me. So, yeah, 2002's The Rookie.
You know, one could argue golf, Happy Gilmore, but,
that's more of an Adams. Yeah, I guess. But, well, he wanted to be a hockey player. Turned out, that's true. There's so many different sports movies. So, yeah, 2002's The
Rookie. I think baseball does win the prize. Sorry.
Yeah, it kind of does. I think there are, I'd have to do the math on this, and I hate doing math, folks. There's probably more baseball movies than anything else. So
right. And if you don't mind, I mean, I'm sure if you're interested in baseball movies, you are well aware of the Pride of the Yankees, but that's one of the all-time greats right up there with It's a Wonderful Life and so forth. So that's not what we're here to talk about.
It's a Wonderful Life. I could never get past the title. I have.
And how long have you been a member of Al Qaeda?
Wow. All right. No, it's a Batman line, folks. It's in Batman the Animated Series, Robin suggests to Batman, "Hey, Lee, it's Christmas. Let's watch It's a Wonderful Life." And Batman's like, "It's a Wonderful Life. Huh. I could never get past the title." Because Batman has had such not a wonderful life kind of thing.
As all great origin stories of superheroes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
I will argue against any Yankee film with fever pitch from 2005 because the Boston Red Sox are superior to the New York Yankees. End of story. I see that.
Well, that's my thing of like, I like the movies. Yeah, I don't like the sports.
That's
and
fine.
Yeah, I mean, that's another thing too, is that I grew up, basically in the shadow of Fenway Park. My grandfather coached all of my aunts and uncles in Little League, was one of those Red Sox fans that his whole life never got to see them make it. And to this day, you can't mention the, is it the 86?
Yes, it's 86.
Yeah. Without half the family, you know, that broke Papa's heart. How could they do that? Glove to the ground.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Damn Bill Buckner. Wasn't Buckner's fault. Stanley didn't cover for... Yeah, it was Buckner's fault. Anyway.
Glove to the ground.
That's right.
All I know. Yep.
All right, folks. 2002's The Rookie. I love this film. I have always loved this film. And the way that the story is told in the film versus how it actually happened, because I actually found when I was looking for the trailer earlier, I found a whole 20-minute clip of like a behind-the-scenes thing of them talking about the movie. You actually see Jim Morris in there and various things. And I was like, oh, in 22 years, I had never seen that. So I watched that today. And they romanticized it a bit in the movie because movies are romanticized stuff all the time.
Disney movies. I mean, they call it the Disneyfication of a thing for a reason.
Yeah. Absolutely. But it is the journey of young Jimmy Morris, who wants to be a baseball player. He's always wanted to be a baseball player. His father was a Navy brat and ended up moving all over the place, and they ended up settling in Texas. And one of the reasons why I wish Jesse was here, because he could speak to this more than either one of us could.
Growing up in Texas.
Big Lake doesn't have I don't know if you watched the documentary today or not, but in there they say Big Lake, Texas is one of those towns where you blink and you miss it. You pass right through it. It's kind of like going from Louisville, Kentucky through Frankfort. Frankfort, Kentucky is the capital of Kentucky, but it's like that big. So you just kind of pass right on by. I love this movie. I love the journey. I love how he motivates the kids to start winning and then they turn it back on him. I love that. That's so cool.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I also have a little bit of an aversion to cute kids in movies. And I did go back and rewatch this thinking like, you know, I remember there was a lot of kids in that, but I don't remember like disliking any of the kids. That's kind of weird for me. And it is really a phenomenal child cast.
It is, yeah.
And, you know, we'll get into the details there, but I had forgotten that it was Angus T. Jones, who then went on to be in Two and a Half Men. And, you know, whatever you might think about that, he's had a very long career as an actor. And I'm never aware of the fact that I'm watching a child actor when I'm watching his performance, which is the best compliment I can give.
Yeah, I liked him in this, and that's pretty much it. I stopped following him after after that. Like, I've seen him in Two and a Half Men. I was never a big fan of Two and a Half Men before and after Charlie Sheen. But, I liked him in this. He was one of those, you know, cute kid in movie kind of thing. And, you know, he plays the son of Jim and everything else. And yeah.
Yeah. And you like, you believed in that relationship.
Oh yeah.
And it's, to me, it felt really authentic because you really felt like the kid was hoping for the dad just as much as the dad was trying to take care of the kid. It was a very symbiotic relationship, which I think most child-parent relationships are much more than you actually see portrayed in movies.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Especially the scene with them on the phone in the phone booth with, you know, helping him with his homework. Mm-hmm. And then the other ball players like, oh, is it? No, I was helping my son with his math home. And again, because Jim is older than every other young ball player, like I love the line. So you're the old guy. I'm the old guy.
Yeah. Like, I don't have time or energy to get pissed off at that. Yeah, yeah. Sure.
Yeah, my situation is way different than whatever you're going through kind of thing.
Right.
And what else about this did you like?
Well, I also need to say that Rachel Griffiths, I had forgotten about her being in there, and I loved her in 6 Feet Under. So it was really interesting to see her as like this wholesome mom when I'm used to seeing her as like basically a addict on a show about a funeral parlor. So that was really great. As I said, the whole cast of the team was great. I really appreciated that it was a story about just doing your best. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that speech that he gives before they make the bargain about, you know, you gave up, you didn't play with heart. You know, it's schmaltzy, but it's true and it works. And you can really imagine that someone could have recorded what the actual Jim said to his teammates, and it wasn't prettied up and glossified. And, you know, I can't remember if there was actually even a score under that. I do remember a couple of places where it's like, if they were really trying to make this the Hollywood version, they would have a way overdone score happening under here, there. And I felt there was a lot of restraint with that.
The score is very, very subtle. It only happens in certain scenes and certain whatever. And that moment when he's motivating the kids. I'm pretty sure that I've seen the movie enough times. I think I would know. I'm 95% sure that there is no music when he's talking to them, because they then, like you said, turn it on him. Well, what about you, coach? What are your dreams? What do you, you know? Well, if you guys right. make state, or if you guys do this, then I'll go try out. Okay, sure.
And right.
that motivates them, which.
Yeah. And I mean, that really felt authentic, because then he like pushes back. It's like, I'm only trying out. I'm going to make a fool yeah. of myself. And, you know, like, and you can just see it in their eyes that the kids are thinking, no, you're going to have more than a tryout. Yeah.
They know. And the crazy mm-hmm. thing about the kids and the team when they start winning, I don't. So this is the first time that I've seen the film that I looked at it where it's right before Slow Turning starts, when they start winning. Mm-hmm. There's that little mm-hmm. guitar part, like right before the song. Mm-hmm. And I'm sitting here thinking to myself, is that John? Because that would be perfect if it was. It's literally, I've heard enough John Hiatt music now at this point in my life. I swear that's John on the guitar right before the song starts.
Yep. Yep. And well, actually, technically, it's Sonny Landreth, okay. because that is a very classic Sonny Landreth mm-hmm. riff. Do, do, mm-hmm. do, yep. do, do. So funny story. I actually did see this movie in the theater precisely because I'm sure it was on the Yahoo discussion group. Someone said, hey, I saw this movie. Guess what? John Hiatt has a song in it. So I was like, OK, mm-hmm. I'll go. And I was in a theater of my very small town. We make the fictional or non-fictional Texas town, Big Lake, look like a grand metropolis here in the hills of Vermont. Teeny tiny little theater. I saw it, and Slow Turning came on, and I was really excited, and I was yeah. kind of dancing. I was by myself because I've never had a problem going to the movies by myself. And I look over, and there's someone like two rows ahead of me doing the exact same thing. He's even more enthusiastically dancing. He's got his head thrown back, singing the words. And I'm like, who are you? And how do I not know you? So I wanted to like grab him and introduce myself, but he actually left before the end credits. And when John Hiatt's song is in a movie, I have to watch his name go up on the credits. Mm-hmm. So to this day, every once in a while, our local radio station has they play Slow Turning, and they say, oh, that was a request from Randolph. And I'm like, who are you? And how come we haven't met yet? What is going on? Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah, no. So the song plays as they continue their winning streak. And then we get
the beautiful Hollywood montage mm-hmm. of things coming together.
What I noticed this time is it skips. It plays uh-huh. through it. It doesn't stop, but it jumps from one section of the song to the other section, which is fine. Don't get me wrong. I'm not complaining about it. I've never noticed, for as many times as I've seen this film, that it...
Well, now that you're a hired expert, if anything is altered, you're aware. Uh-huh. Yeah.
I don't know about expert, but yeah. It's a nice little film. It's nice that the song is there and the song works for the scene.
I mean, I think they did a great job with the soundtrack all around.
Yeah.
You know, that there's just so many emotional points, and they pull back and let the song tell the story, and then they zoom back into the story. Yeah. You know, I have to give the shout out to Some Dreams by Steve Earle, which I think plays to the credits, but is also thrown a little. I mean, that's just a perfect song. Ryan Adams, he was not as well known now as he was then and kind of highlighted in this film.
Yeah.
We've got some Willie Nelson, some Guy Clark, mm-hmm. and just really well done.
And just everybody in this movie is a standout character, from the kids. Mm-hmm. To Jim himself, to his wife, to his three kids, to the old guys in the barbershop. Like, I mean, everybody gets a good piece.
Yeah, and I would say even the town is a character mm-hmm. in and of itself.
Well, frame that around this big mysterious thing with the nuns and the this and the that and the whatever else. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and just the way that they all came together, and yeah.
Yeah, it works.
I read something that movie critic was very careful to say that he was not saying this as a negative, but actually this is not a movie, it is two movies. And I remember feeling that this most recent watch, that there's the movie about the Little League team that defies the odds and turns things around. And then there's the movie about the older baseball player getting a second chance. And yeah. it is great that they work together in the way that they do.
Yeah.
But yeah, it definitely felt like you could almost get up and leave and, oh, wait, there's more.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, like when they are going through and you could probably go and leave as soon as the song stops, because that's the genesis of the whole thing. Like, you guys start winning and then I'll go try out. So again, going through the winning streak scene, we get to that, the song fades, and we then get to the point of the story of him having to then go find a tryout and see what happens. And then we are on his journey, following it through his eyes and everybody else in the town's eyes, from his wife to the old guys to the kids and the baseball, to all that stuff. And it's so good.
It's really good. And it's kind of interesting that there's a little bit of a contrast in that you definitely got the sense that the kids worked hard, but it is done in that sped up version of all of a sudden you're seeing within a minute of film. Mm-hmm. Win, and, you know, the green grass coming up on the field and blah, blah, blah. And then in contrast for Jim's story, you're seeing him in that phone booth in the rain. Yeah. You're seeing him getting the dirty looks from people. You're seeing him, you know, ice in his shoulder and really working hard.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure if he's going to make it. Getting the calls that, you know, the mortgage is overdue and when do you give up and all those kind of things. That it's lovely to think that you work hard and you don't suffer.
Yeah.
But really, no one gets to a great accomplishment without some pain.
Yeah.
And I really like that they had shown that in the second part.
Yeah. I mean, anyone who does road traveling for a job, doesn't matter what job it is, any job, from baseball to musician to whatever, it could be, you know, traveling toilet paper salesman or something. It doesn't matter. If you're traveling for a job, you're away from your family, especially if you're a family person, you're away from your family, you're away from your wife and kids, you're, you know, and baseball specifically, I mean, what is it? I don't know, baseball, not I should know. 62 weeks out of the year or something like that, or whatever. whatever it is. It's like 62 games, so it's like you're on the road all year long kind of thing through the summer and stuff. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, seeing that is an interesting thing because it adds to it, to the fact that he was a baseball player and then he got injured, mm-hmm. and now he's coming back to see, and hey, look.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. I'm sure that was part of the feeling, mm-hmm. of like, why am I putting myself up for this heartache a second time?
Yeah.
And, you know, that's a lovely message to take from the film, too, yeah. that, you know, sometimes a horrible sport that chews people and spits them out needs a second chance.
I think another one of the best scenes in this is the speed trap scene. Oh, my God. 76, 76, 70.
I think I saw something that said that was actually like a movie blooper, or like that was part of the complete fabrication.
Probably.
Of the story.
Yeah. Most likely. Yeah. No, yeah. I don't think it's part of the act.
But it makes for great.
Yeah, again, it may, cause again, you're like, cause he says himself when Dave asked him, when you were pitching, Jim, how fast, I don't know, 86, 80, 87, you know, whatever. So mm-hmm. seeing the speed trap, I was like, and I've been like this the whole time, ever since I first saw it. I was like, 76, got it. Uh-huh. That's what's going to bring him back, because no scout is not going to call in a 98-mile-an-hour pitch. Mm-mm.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah. No, absolutely. It's just a feel-good movie, folks. If you haven't seen it before, check it out. I love Dennis Quaid.
Yeah.
I've always loved Dennis Quaid.
He's pretty good for an actor who's been around for as long as he has. And yeah, and his tone in this is so perfect.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he just really shows both sides of this character, the hoping for someone else and then hoping for himself. And, you know, the selflessness of being a school teacher and putting in the time with the kids and then arguably being really selfish, spending time away from his family. But, you know, he had the motivation. He had the reason to do it.
He had the motivation, and he had everybody motivating him behind him. Like, his wife wasn't saying,
absolutely,
no, don't do this. You have to do this. If you don't do this, you're not going to know what could have been. It's one of those. Yeah.
And she made the really good argument that, like, how can you tell our kids that they can do anything if you're not willing to give this a shot? Yeah,
exactly. And then I love this line from her, because he's like, well, what about the bills and this and then you and the, she's like, Jimmy Morris, I'm a Texas woman, I can handle this, you know. I love that line from her. That's so good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know, it is one of those moments where it's like, oh, she is such a good actress, mm-hmm. because I believed her.
Yep.
And then I've believed her as a very different type of character.
Yeah, absolutely. And to his mom and dad, Brian Cox, that man can act. Like, I've seen him in several things, but I always remember him as the dad in this, and just, wow, so good.
Mm.
All right, so we've mentioned a lot of the cast. So I was looking at Quaid's filmography. The first time I ever saw him was in 1987's Inner Space.
Wow, I'm shocked that you like that movie, Mike.
Really?
Couldn't even get it out.
Really? You're shocked that I like Inner Space? Right. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I'm shocked there isn't a John Hyatt song in that movie, actually. Since it came out the same year.
A little early for him to be in.
Well, you never know. Could have had a little faith in there somewhere.
Well, as I pointed out, that this was released the same year that John was the main voice of a singing character in another Disney movie. And I know I heard it somewhere, but I can't remember if it was pure rumor or somehow documented, that Eisner, who was in charge of Disney at the time, mm-hmm. was a John Hyatt fan. And that was what was steering all these things happening. So
very cool. Yeah. Quaid would go on to do a bunch of other films. Me being the geek that I am, G.I. Joe, The Rise of Cobra. He was a character in that. He's done a bunch of other things. I don't even remember the last movie I saw him in.
Speaking of music, did a great Jerry Lee Lewis in Great Balls of Fire.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
He made that story, I think, relatable and, you know, that you actually were rooting for the old guy to marry his cousin somehow.
I don't know how that works, but yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, gosh, I can't believe I forgot about this. I'm looking at Wikipedia. Mm-hmm. And speaking of John Hyatt, some people might know of a cover version of a little song called Thing Called Love by Ms. Bonnie Raitt. The official music video of Thing Called Love by Bonnie Raitt featured what actor? Dennis Quaid. Dennis
Quaid, that's right. So wait, she covered that? Or he did? Yes. Okay, I want to know, because when I was so last year, folks, in August of last year, I knew you were coming on, so I have to have this discussion with you. You guys always call it the Recovery Trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
I add in Perfectly Good Guitar. So it's a tetralogy.
Okay.
Like, Perfectly Good Guitar is like the tail end of, hey, this is where I am now. This is the good side.
Yeah, well, you know, that makes perfect sense, because I have heard a lot of people in recovery talk about finding like a second adolescence or a second childhood when you're just like this joyful energy in your sobriety. And they called that his midlife crisis return to his teenage years. So that makes perfect sense.
Yeah. And when I was writing up the stuff for those individual written reviews for Bring the Family, Slow Turning, Stolen Moments. Thank you.
I'm not.
Thank you. Stolen Moments. And Perfectly Good Guitar. I looked at Thing Called Love and I'm like, wait a minute. I listened to that, like, because I listened to all these songs, like, on multiple repeats so I could have the song stuck in my head so I could write about it. And I'm like, Thing Called Love. And I've never really been, I don't know anything against Bonnie Raitt, but I've never really been a super fan of hers. And I'm like, this sounds awfully familiar, and I hadn't heard her version in years, and I still haven't. I won't listen to it, because John's version to me is the only version that matters.
But he's the first to say that it put many a tire on the tour bus. Mm-hmm. It really elevated his profile and made a lot of money on the royalties. Also talks about that year she won a whole bunch of Grammys, and every time they called her name as the winner for the Grammy, they did Thing Called Love, and he was sitting on the couch with his wife just cheering and having a grand old time watching that happen.
Well, so that's good.
That's more than enough for me. Yeah,
absolutely. This is one of those movies where even if it wasn't about somebody, if it was just a completely made-up story,
mm-hmm.
this is a movie, and this is a thing that Hollywood is kind of gotten away from, but is kind of going back to. It's one film. You don't need three sequels. You don't need a whole universe of movies based off of this. There, it's just one film, beginning, middle, and end. And I have been so obsessed with that format lately, because we have been so engrossed with movies, with universes. And look, I have nothing against the universe and whatever else with the movies and 23 films with Marvel and all that. That's fine. That's great. But I miss the days of the individual film standing on its own. And this film stands on its own.
Yeah. I mean, I think going to the movies, watching a movie, is about escapism and giving yourself a break from your own life for a couple of hours. And then, you know, feeling refreshed and feeling like you took the journey and now it's over and you can return back to your normal life. So I absolutely agree with you when they stretch these things out. You know, as much as I loved Lord of the Rings, and you certainly couldn't make those movies any shorter than the original trilogy was, but oh, he's rolling his eyes. People, you can't see that, but I just hit a nerve, I can tell.
No, I've said it before on this show and I'll say it again. I was 14 years old. I read that book, Fellowship. And it's numbers, folks, and it's my brain, my broken-ass brain. His 111st birthday, I read that line, and I'm like, okay, I'm done. It means he's 111 years old. Just stop. I get it. It's the language and all that and everything else. But yeah, at 14, I was done. I've never had any interest in those movies.
Well, that is something that I was talking about. My mom and I bonding over John Hyatt. She loved those Tolkien books so much that she, on my birthday, like baby out of the womb, gifted me with the leather bound fancy edition.
Awesome.
And I, to this day, have not read them all the way.
It's okay.
I find them pretty boring too.
It's okay. I mean, like, it was fine. I was doing well at 14 years, and I've been reading my whole life. 14 isn't very much of a whole life, but like, I've been reading, you know, I grew up reading Berenstain Bears and Hardy Boys and this, that, and the other thing and everything else. And I've read a bunch of other stuff, and I'm like, oh, okay. My dad found a copy of it. The only reason why I had a copy of it was my dad found it on a bus. He's a mechanic. He used to work for several different bus companies back then, and somebody left it on a bus. Usually when you're cleaning out the buses, you either put it in Lost and Found or you take it home to your kids. And I read it, and I'm like, okay. I think it's like the first chapter when that happens with the whole birthday. It's before Bilbo comes. I'm like, God, I couldn't even finish the first chapter of that book. So I have no interest in the movies. Never have.
Gotcha.
I don't have anything against them. Like, I'm not sitting here saying, I can't sit here and say, oh my God, I hate them, because I don't, because I've never seen them. I just don't. I'd rather go to a galaxy far, far away. But yeah, folks, 2002's Disney's The Rookie. Check it out if you're a baseball fan.
Or if you're not, you know, because as I said, I'm not a baseball fan, but I really loved this movie, even outside of the soundtrack.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I was looking at the research and, you know, seeing that it's got a really relatively high IMDb score of like 86% on Rotten Tomatoes or something like that. I kind of thought like, oh, I thought it was just me, or, you know, like I occasionally will love a movie that everyone else hates.
Oh yeah.
And I kind of thought this was one of those, but no, it's just, it's a well-made movie. It's well acted. The production is beautiful. You really believe that you're seeing these small towns, and it takes you into these stories, and it, you know, the games are filmed really dynamically and exciting. And I just have to give it a thumbs up.
Yeah, absolutely. I am right there with you. And ladies and gentlemen, she's going to break my brain here, because that's not how the Hyatt scale works over at Perfectly Good Podcast. But here at the GCRN, for years now, we've had our universal rating system, which includes half points no matter what.
Okay.
0 to 5, what would you give it?
Okay. You said half points are allowed here?
Yep.
Speaking of breaking brains.
Yes, half points are allowed.
We'd have to keep this quiet from Jesse.
Oh, he's going to know.
Because I don't allow him to use half points. You know, I'd go ahead and give it a 4-star, because you just feel so good after you watch it. You know, it's not groundbreaking cinema. It's not, you know, an important movie that, you know, teaches you, you know, something about history or something like that. It's not Casablanca, for goodness sake, but it's a really made movie, and it's a joy to watch.
Well, folks, you know how I am half the time. There's nothing in this film that made me ever, in the last 22 years, there has never been anything in this movie that has turned me off to it. There is nothing in this movie that has made me just go, nope, I'm done. There's no scene. There's no moment. There's no nothing. It's a 5 all the way.
All right.
Okay. It just is.
I was waiting for the butt.
Yeah, no, 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 no butt. No butt at all. So All right, folks, I think we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with the closing of the show right after some ads and some other stuff. We'll be back right after this.
Because the world needs another movie podcast.
The GeekCast Radio Network presents for your listening pleasure, The Cinema Geek.
Hosted by Amanda, Kevin, Matt, and Dan.
Each week, we dive headfirst in the landscape of movies as we discuss movie news, play movie games,
go in-depth on reviews,
and even have a top 10 countdown or two.
Also, don't miss our director retrospective series, where we review noted directors' movies film by film. Bottom line is, if you love movies and love podcasts, you need to experience The Cinema Geeks.
You can find us on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, or geekcastradio.com.
Hey, toy fans, this is John, also known as Iacon Dispatch. You can find me on pretty much every social network at Iacon Dispatch, where I share cool Transformers and Star Wars stuff that I like. Thanks so much to the great people at GeekCast Radio Network for putting this awesome project together and for once again letting me contribute to it. Definitely had a lot of fun with it. Take it easy, everyone, and I'll see you around online.
Like science fiction? Of course you do, or you wouldn't be listening to the GeekCast Radio Network. Well, the Marku 42's Universe podcast is an award-winning sci-fi radio show that's been around for over 10 years. We cover everything from Doctor Who to the MCU to pop culture and everything in between. A new show drops on Tuesday mornings on the GCRN website and all of the major podcast platforms. So listen to the Marku 42's Universe podcast from the universe and beyond.
Do you know John Hiatt songs?
Maybe you know them from being covered by Roseanne Cash, Three Dog Night, the Neville Brothers, Emmylou Harris, Eric Clapton, B.B. King, Jeff Healey, Bonnie Raitt, or literally hundreds of others.
Maybe you have some of his albums on your shelf or in your cowhorned Cadillac right now.
I'm Jesse Jackson.
And I'm Sylvan Groff.
And we're going to dive in from A to Z. Join us on the Perfectly Good podcast.
We're going to discuss all of your favorites and uncover some forgotten gems, from Aces Up Your Sleeve to Zero House.
Rate and debate every John Hiatt song on the Perfectly Good podcast. Have a little faith.
All right, folks, we're back here inside Studio 2009. Miss Sylvan Groth, promote stuff. What do you got going on?
Perfectly Good podcast. We are making our journey, and we would love people. We have had people who have been longtime Hiatt fans come on. We have had people who have never really heard of John Hiatt, because I walk around the world just trying to grab someone. And if you say you're interested in music, you'll, you know, hear about it. So Perfectly Good podcast, John Hiatt A to Z. There is another Perfectly Good podcast out there, but it was just too good of a name to pass up. And I'm also a little bit of a Harry Potter nerd, so I just submitted something to LeakyCon. Maybe you'll see me there, maybe you won't. But I have a presentation based on David M. Martin's 12 Failsafe Ways to Charm Witches. If you're interested in that, drop me a line and I'll point you in the right direction. But otherwise, I'm just up here in Vermont keeping a low profile.
Good old Ben and Jerry's. All right, folks, that's going to do it for us. Coming up next, I don't know. It could be a Gamer Origins episode. It could be another movie review. I do know episode 75 is a podcast Origins episode, but I don't know what's happening in episode 74. I have to check with the people behind the scenes and see what's going on there. Thank you for joining us inside the studio. If you'd like to get in contact with us or leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website, geekcastradio.com, where you can listen to and comment on all of our content. Send us email to feedback@geekcastradio.com. You can check us out on any of the podcatching clients that you choose to use. I prefer Spotify, but that's just me. Follow us on Twitter at Geekcast Radio for the network at It's Studio 2009, all one word. I'm at TFG and Mike. You are still on Twitter, correct? Or have you left it now at this point?
Yeah, I think we've got a Perfectly Good PD, which I haven't monitored for a while. And I was Sylvan Green Eyes for a while, which might be the best way to find some of my Harry Potter stuff.
Okay, so. Cool. You can become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekCast Radio Network and Studio 2009 Podcast over there, as well as checking out the John Hiatt's fan group, as well as the Perfectly Good podcast fan page over there as well. All of these links will be on geekcastradio.com, as always, in this episode's post. like I said, next time, I'm not sure what's going on. It could be video games. It could be movies. It could be cartoons. It could be anything in the audio and visual realm, because that's what this podcast is for. For now, I am TFG and Mike with
Sylvan Green Eyes.
You'll hear us back in the studio soon.